Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Hebrews chapter 2, we were talking about the inherent need people have to turn to someone for help in their time of trial, and how Jesus is the perfect friend and the correct person to turn to in time of need. Let's continue with that thought today. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
You know, Adam and Eve, they were made without sin, but they were not righteous. They were innocent, but not righteous. They failed when they acted in our stead. But Jesus Christ, he didn't fail in our stead. That's why if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. For as in Adam and all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. What a special blessing and truth that is. His placement in humanity gives me, gives you, if you're saved, a very special placement. Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6, we read about it. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He makes us kings and priests after he's washed us in his own blood. Oh, my friend, we have a wonderful Savior. And whereas we're placed, sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're placed in Christ, it's through fellowship with God that we continue to grow in that sanctification. But that leads to the perfection that brings us to sanctification in verses 9 through 13. He says, but we see Jesus in verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by grace, the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, we are always interested in those who have had an experience similar to our own. And we feel they will understand and be able to help us. Sometimes cancer patients look to other cancer patients that have gone through it. In our time of need, we look to Jesus because we know in him we have a friend who understands. He even knows our heart better than we do. There are two kinds of people who are not qualified to sympathize. Those that have never known suffering, and then secondly, those who have never mastered suffering. Jesus Christ qualifies because he both knew and mastered suffering. Tempted in all points, like as we are. He shared our lot, my friend. Therefore, we look to him as our captain in quest of abundant living. As John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Then Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. My friend, you're not just saved to be saved from sin, but you're saved to have an abundant life in Christ, to a life that honors his righteousness and his holiness, that his holiness and righteousness is lived through you. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20, if you want to write down a reference. We look to him as our captain in quest of abundant living. And yes, He helps us use our sufferings in the achievement of strong character. But you must see Jesus. You know, that word does not mean to look casually where we see Jesus, but we see Jesus. That word see is not meaning casually looking. Rather, it's to look with understanding. It is seeing with the eye of the mind and understanding with the thought of the heart. It's no great thing that man should be made a little lower than the angels, but God's eternal Son being made lower than the angels is greatly astonishing when I think of how they, the angels, surround His throne. But then pile on top of that wonder, He was made lower for the purpose of suffering death. That's the very object in view. The object of Calvary was not to soften God's heart toward the sinner. On the contrary part, the tender, compassionate heart of God allowed Calvary to be. Calvary did not create love, my friend, in the heart of God for the sinner. God's heart being filled with love from the beginning brought about Calvary. Calvary was foreordained before God ever made the earth or before there was ever a sinner. Calvary did not create grace. It was grace, my friend, that created Calvary. This is why He is crowned with glory and honor. It would take perfection to bring about our sanctification, and only He is perfect, my friend. The word translated crowned is from the Greek word that has somewhat of the idea of a victor's crown, something that is earned by a great victory. Well, the great victory is over death via the resurrection. He not only experienced the pangs of death, but He experienced what death really is, the fullness and depth of death. My friend, He did not merely die for sin, but He tasted death for every man. Think about that. That's not Calvinistic thinking, is it? But it's Bible thinking. It's scriptural. He tasted death, and what does our Bible tell us here? For every man. Never forget, His humanity is as real as His deity, and vice versa. The thing is, His humanity started 2,000 years ago, but it was planned before the foundation of this world. If He would taste death for every man, He must become a man, for only as man could He die. Hebrews 10:4 says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." You think of someone who murders someone else. They rob a bank. They molest a child. Is sacrificing an animal a worthy substitute for the injury that those things did to the others? Of course it's not. Those things only pictured what Jesus would do for us in His humanity. See, this mystery is set forth for us in that ancient type in Leviticus chapter 14, verses 5 through 7. "And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field." Now, I want you to see the picture or type God sets for us here. Leprosy is a type of sin. It's a disease that man cannot cure it. And that's the idea there. The priest is instructed to take two clean birds alive. One of the birds is to be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. That signifies Christ taking on an earthen vessel. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible says in John 1:14. The other bird was to be dipped in the blood of the dead bird and let loose in the open field. Jesus said we were to be born again, or we are to be born again, of water and blood. The first bird shows Christ as the heavenly one who enters the earthen vessel of humanity to die for our sins. But the second bird speaks of him as the risen one who has returned to the heavens in all the value of his precious blood. As it pertained to the leper, so to me. I'm cleansed and set into the open field of God's eternity of life in heaven to soar as the bird into the eternal light. Only the perfection of Jesus Christ, my friend, could accomplish this. And verse 10 is a continuation of this thought. For it became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. It became him who created the heavens and the earth and sustains them. In chapter 1, we're told he made the worlds and upholds it by his power, just by the word of his power, as a matter of fact. Now we're reminded that the Creator and the sustaining God is the one who became a man to die for us. So what we're seeing here is that the humanity of Jesus Christ is being discussed in the passage here in Hebrews that is before us. One of the most offensive teachings of this day is evolution. Even theistic evolution is an abomination to God. If you believe we evolved, then my friend, the gospel and the Bible simply cannot be trusted. Now, we're sons brought unto adoption. Heaven is an inheritance, and only those that are children are inheritors of the inheritance. God the Father is Father of the humanity of Jesus Christ by eternal generation and miraculous conception. He is the Father of the saved by regeneration and adoption. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand so the hills may tremble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation.